Chapter 15. Her eyes catch small flecks of light, even at night, even in the darkness, and it makes him wonder if she can see. There are legends about elves being able to see better, hear better, flames even smell better than anyone else. Looking at her, and the careful way she plants each step on the ground, he almost wants to ask. "You're staring, Varric," she says, not looking up from the small wooden bowl of stew she cradles in her long fingers. "Are you all right?"
"Just thinking," Varric replies, waving a hand. She reminds him of a quieter version of Daisy sometimes. Other times, he can almost catch glimpses of Anders. Before he went and blew up the Chantry. A kind person who wanted to help. Someone who just wanted to do good things and help people who couldn't get help from anyone else. Someone trying their damned best. The longer he lives, the more other people he sees on new faces, he thinks. Maybe it'll save his neck in the long run. Who knows?
"Free Marcher, right?" Varric asks, and Llewellyn looks up, nodding. Small dip between her eyebrows as she tries to figure out where he's going with this. "Ever go anywhere near Kirkwall?"
Llewellyn snorts, a giggle that makes her eyes crinkle and her teeth flash. "Of course not! That'd be silly, Varric!"
"Yeah, guess you're right."
Varric shakes his head. "You do have to be some sort of crazy and desperate to go live near or around Kirkwall.
Someday you want to go?"
Llewellyn cocks her head. "Cullen doesn't exactly have the most flattering words for the place. Neither does Cassandra."
"I'll be there," Varric points out.
"And this Daisy, the person you call Daisy, she'll be there too?"
"Make her willing." "Yes, I still think you two should meet. You'd have a blast," Varric replies. He can just picture it now. If he could somehow throw in Broody and Buttercup, it'd be a real party. Hell, why not add Chuckles to the mix? The five of them are just as different and somehow the same as you can get. He might even invite the others along for drinks to watch. Heh, that'd be a riot. He's not sure who'll end up strangling who first, but he's pretty certain he knows who he'd put his money on. Llewellyn hums, returning to contemplating her food.
"It would be nice. I like traveling. And Cullen always says Kirkwall is an experience." "Josephine?" She looks up to see the Inquisitor nervously shuffling her feet. She had heard someone come in, but people often come and go from her office. Scouts, messengers, soldiers, dropping off parcels and papers or taking them away. "May I help you with something, Your Worship?" Josephine asks, careful to move her quill before she blotches the paper. "Do you want me to call a meeting?"
"Oh, no,"
Llewellyn says, blinking, waving her hands in front of her.
"No, I just... are you terribly busy? You always seem busy, but so does Cullen and Leliana, and I was wondering if you were actually busy at this very moment, which sounds very silly because it's not like you're wasting time. I didn't mean to imply that. Creators, I don't shut up."
"For you, no, I'm not busy," Josephine says, smiling as she puts her quill down and caps her ink bottle. She folds her hands together, giving the Inquisitor her full attention. "How might I be of service?" Llewellyn tilts her chin downwards.
I just wanted to talk, if that was all right."
Llewellyn gives her a nervous smile. She is so very charming, though Josephine worries how well she'll handle meeting with diplomats and visiting nobles. She's such an open girl, honest, even when she's lying. There's something a little painful in having to turn someone this honest, this open, into someone like the Inquisitor they need on the throne. It's like they're changing her nature. Josephine just can't tell if it's for better or worse.
"Of course. Anything in particular you wanted to talk about?"
Llewellyn's mouth twists and she plays with her fingers.
Josephine waits. "Boys," Llewellyn finally says, wincing. Josephine blinks. "Boys?" she repeats. Llewellyn slowly nods her head, eyes fixed on the stone floor in front of her.
"Yes, boys. Men, I suppose."
Llewellyn's hands flutter.
You're very good at talking to people. All people. And I'm not? So I was, wondering if you could, well, it's not the same as talking to the members of my clan."
Llewellyn waves her hands in an explosive flurry of motion. Her face is flush pink, even the tips of her ears.
"It's different with the clan. You know everyone, and everyone's known you since forever. You know you don't talk to that person about this thing, and you know you should always share gossip with that person, and you know that this Haren doesn't like it when you mention that thing. And it's okay, and you can sort of tell with other clans who talks to who. But here it's...
Llewellyn deflates. "Different." Josephine smiles. "You've been doing fine so far. Dorian has nothing but praise for you, and you even get Solas talking."
"Yes, well," Llewellyn sputters, "Dorian has a lot to say, and all I have to do is be there. And it's not hard to ask questions. The problem is I've run out of questions, and I'm not very good at this. I can talk to girls just fine, but boys are different. Shem boys are strange. They have beards, Josephine."
Llewellyn looks slightly perplexed.
"Beards!"
Josephine fights very hard not to laugh.
"And I don't want to look stupid," Llewellyn continues. "I don't want to look stupid in front of them. What if I make a silly mess of myself? Then they'd realize that I'm just a, well, me, and they'd all regret their decisions up until that very moment and leave."
Llewellyn picks at the edge of her tunic.
"So, yes, I was wondering if you could, well, I suppose teach me not to be a very large and giant mess of nerves and ignorance."
"First, I think everyone would like you just fine, and they do like you. You are young and don't know much about the world. It is understandable that you do not know much about how to relate to others,"
Josephine says, slowly rising and moving around the desk to take her by the elbow and guide the girl towards the armchairs around the fireplace.
"Second, you do just fine, Inquisitor. Trust me. Of course you're a little, well, awkward at times, but most people are. It makes you approachable. It's a good thing. We can't all be perfect. That being said, the best way to learn is to practice. So why don't we call Varric in here, or perhaps Cullen, and talk?"
The commander somehow looks smaller without his pauldrons and heavy furs. Krem tilts his head and squints. Kind of looks normal. It's not a bad look on him, but he kind of blends into a crowd. Not really the type of image you'd associate with a commander of an army. He figures that people like that do need some kind of distinguishing feature from far away. Cullen's, he supposes, was that whole lion motif. The chief, of course, is the chief. And her worship is, well, it's hard to miss her in a fight, considering that she glows green and calls down lightning. "You're looking slightly more underdressed than usual, Commander. Missing something?" Krem says, leaning against the edge of the training ring as Cullen steps back from adjusting a soldier's stance. Cullen's lip twitches upwards, and he wordlessly points to the shade made by Skyhold's walls. Krem turns and looks over his shoulder. Grins. The commander's coat and furs are curled around a sleeping Llewellyn, who, in turn, is leaning against that boy. What's his name? Right. Cole. Cole is sitting very still, hands folded in his lap, long gangly legs stretched out in front of him. The Inquisitor is curled up in the reds and browns of the commander's coat, head resting on Cole's shoulder. "Now, isn't that a picture?" Krem says, turning back to the commander. Cullen laughs. She needs some rest, he says, rolling his shoulders. And I admit, it's something of a relief not to wear that thing for a while, cold as it may be. Well, now that you're out of that thing, maybe you could stand to get a little dirt on you, Krem says, willing to spar with a sellsword, commander. Cullen gives him a look. As long as you are not going to be swinging around that thing you call a hammer, I'm willing. Krem snorts, jumping over the fence to go find a training sword. Aw, what's the matter, commander? Scared of a little rock? Remind me why I'm coming with you.
Because Madame Vivian is busy, Llewellyn says. Solas is doing some research. Sarah hates the distant outdoors.
She holds up both hands to start counting off, and Dorian mentally prepares himself for a bunch of garbage bullshit to be thrown at him.
She says that she's fine with trees, but she's not going all the way to the edge of nowhere. Her words, not mine. Cassandra and Blackwell won't say it, but they hate picking sand out of their armor, and I'm pretty sure they overheat anyway. Varric says he's a city dwarf, and he's getting on in years, so he needs to take a break and file some paperwork.
She frowns.
I feel bad, because we always go to cold, wet places, and Bull doesn't wear a shirt, so he's coming. Besides, we're paying him to go do things no one wants to do. Also, Venatori and dragons.
Dorian refrains from pointing out that she isn't paying herself, and clearly someone wants to do it because she's going.
Cole doesn't mind. He likes quiet, and he likes going places, so he's coming too. He also doesn't mind Bull that much. They get along.
And me. Why me? I hate sand getting into, well, my everything, just as much as Cassandra and Blackwall do. Dorian points out. I do research like Solas. I'm not getting paid like Bull is.
Llewellyn looks at him over her long fingers. But Dorian, you're my best friend, and you're always complaining about being cold.
That doesn't mean I want you to cook me in my leathers, Dorian protests, but he's already getting up and making his way to his quarters, Llewellyn trailing behind him. This is an abuse of friendship. I've read enough to know where this is going. First, you ask for little things, like a reference book or help with research, or, Dorian, can you pass that jar of so-and-so? Next, you move on to bigger things, like, Dorian, can you do this for me? Dorian, can you hide me? Dorian, can you go to the middle of nowhere and get sand in your eyes and mouth and somehow in your small clothes and fight a dragon with me? I know your tricks. I see through you. And I'm telling you, it's working, damn it.
Llewellyn's laugh is light, mostly a little huff of air that trills and trails off sweetly.
Dorian sighs, throwing his door open. You're so very lucky you're pretty, my dear, Dorian says, as he picks up the travel bag he's learned to keep handy around her. Turning to flick her forehead, she yelps. Pretty people like us get away with everything.